Hi, this is Marla Brooks, host of that bewitching show, Stirring the Cauldron. And you're stirring it up right now with Michael and Ellie on Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred.
The views and opinions expressed by Paratrinity Radio and their guests are solely theirs and do not represent the views and opinions of ASPRN or its affiliates.
Welcome to Paratrinity Radio. Your hosts, Mike and Ellie, plan to delve into the controversial subject of religion and the paranormal.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord and my soul to keep.
Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred. Powered by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Paratrinity Radio. We have a hell of a show tonight, and this is not something I've ever seen done on ASPRN, but I haven't been here forever, so I don't know. Can't say that for sure. But tonight we have three guests on for an open roundtable, open floor discussion, debate, whatever you want to call it. We have an atheist, Matt Oxley, who you heard exactly 1 month ago on February 20th. We have Marla Brooks, the Wiccan or witch, who you just heard last week, and you heard her in January as well. And we have Christopher Maggard, who you have not heard on this show. He is a paranormal investigator. Tonight he will be the Christian side of the discussion, the debate. And he is with Tri-State Paranormal of Northern Kentucky. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, it is.
As you all know, I'm Mike. I'm your host. I guess I should have done this first, but I'm Mike.
And I am Ellie. Yay, I remembered my name again.
Very good. And before we even start, I want to say thank you to all of our listeners, those out there listening now in the chat room, those who listen on the podcast, whoever you are. If you're not in the chat room, thank you. We've been listened to in more than 15 countries and over 35 states. So that's a big accomplishment for us. It hasn't been that long since we've come on air, so we're very honored to have so
many listeners. We've only been on. Are you done yet?
I'm done.
Thank you. We've only been on since January 2nd, and I want to thank everybody for downloading us, coming to the chat room, listening to us, debating with us, talking to us, whatever you've done. It's been a pleasure, and we keep growing every day.
And we like to feel loved, so it means a lot to us.
Yeah, it's kind of like that jelly green giant. You water them once and he just shoots through.
Yeah, something like that. I don't even know how to reply to that. So.
I swear, Ellie, you give everyone the most interesting visuals every week here.
I've got to give those visuals. Got to make people use their imaginations to imagine what I am describing.
I think they use their imaginations, that's for sure. All right, so now down to business. Like I said, tonight's a big show. We have three different beliefs, three different people of three different beliefs coming on to have an open floor discussion or debate or heated discussion, whatever you want to call it, which could cause some, I guess you could say, controversy. And with that, I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm going to say it now, and this is your warning. If anyone out there in the chat room or on the phone, but they already know this, I already talked to them, but if anyone out there says anything disrespectful, any obscenities, any insults, anything that can be even construed as a disrespectful comment or insult, we are banning you immediately without warning. This is your... We need to keep the chat room clean tonight. going to keep it clean, and we're not afraid to ban every single one. And if it gets too out of control, we will happily shut off the show immediately. So, be adults. I know you all are, so act like adults.
Sorry.
I couldn't help it. It was just one of those moments.
But all three of our guests are our friends to us, and we respect them, and we want to keep them as friends, and we don't want anything, anyone disrespecting or hurting any of them. And ASPRN doesn't need that either. And everything we say, everything our guest says, is our or their opinions, and only ours or their opinions. Not ASPRN's, not the sponsors, not the affiliates, no one else's. They are our opinions. And like I told you guys, all the guests are on the phone already, but like I told you, if any of you get out of line, we will hang up on you. I'm not our producer is not afraid of you. So, everyone, we're going to keep this clean, and we're going to keep it respectful. All right. I've said my piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have people watching, so be there. Ooh. All right.
So the little ghosties in the computers are going, boo. Sorry. I think I had too much soda.
What did she put in those cookies?
The cookies and the soda. So, I think I've heard a few of our guests kind of chuckling in the background there, so let's bring them on. Let's start with Matt, because that's who just came to mind.
All right.
Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great tonight. I'm really good.
Good. Glad to have you back on again.
Dude.
Yes, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it last time, and I'm glad to be back.
And Marla?
What he said. yeah, thanks
awesome
for having
to have
me
you back for a third time.
I appreciate being here.
And Chris.
Drum roll, please. No, thank you for having me here, man. Thank you very much. Just glad to
have you on the show.
Glad to meet you, Marla and Matt.
You too.
And you've talked to me on my other show, Miami Town Ghost Talk, so
yep.
You are familiar with how we work.
Yeah, I do.
So I think we're about ready to get started.
Yeah, let's jump on this thing.
Let's rock it.
All right. My first question, which I suspect will kind of start up a good discussion where I won't have to ask too many questions, is, in each of your opinions, who or what do you think is God? And who wants to go first? Raise your hand. Well,
raise my hand. Anybody see me?
Stand up if you want to say
first.
Something.
I saw your hand.
Who?
You.
Oh, okay.
Who's well, you? For
me? That guy? Well, okay, I'll go here with this. Who I think or what is God to me?
So before you answer that question, introduce yourself a little bit.
Okay. My name is Chris.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. My name is Chris Maggard, to everybody who hasn't met me before. I moved out here from Southern California. I've been a paranormal researcher and investigator for about a good 28 years now. I studied quite a few different, cults of life, religion, beliefs. I respect it all. I respect everybody's decisions in life and beliefs in life. When I call myself a Christian, maybe not a mainstream Christian or a hardcore Christian, but I do call myself a Christian. And as far as when it comes to the paranormal, I've had a very strong experience when I was younger that forced me into this field. And I approach this field with a very skeptic but yet open mind. And here I am today, and I've been to quite a few places from the West Coast to the East Coast, met a lot of interesting people. And like I said, I respect everybody's beliefs and decisions. I never put down anybody's what they believe in, you know. So, and on that note, I'll go to the question.
All right.
So,
who is God?
Well, to be honest, we don't know who God is. We only know that God is something that was written in the Bible, and I believe there is a higher power that we do call God, whether it be Buddhist, Muslim, whatnot. Because to make something so precise as the human body to function the way it does, the way the energy is created in our brain, the electricity to make our body work, to make our planet stay sustain life, if it was off just a quarter of an inch, less than that, we couldn't survive. The theory of we evolved from a DNA or matter in a pool of water, I just don't believe in that. That's a little bit hard for me to believe. I guess that goes with just like anything else. You got to find proof, bring proof to believe in it, and that goes with Christianity as well. I've heard this, you know, I've read the stories about Jesus Christ and his father.
And that whole bringing proof to it is not something that's very, I don't know, accepted in at least Catholicism.
That right.
Proof.
Yes,
so
it's supposed to be blind faith in Catholicism, but...
Catholicism, I'll be nice about them. But
going to that,
yeah. We all have our beliefs in the higher power, no matter what it is. And I believe there is a God, and He created me in His, supposedly in His image. But that's going by what we've taught from a book that was written by 12 disciples in the New Testament who walked with Christ. And even the Revelations was written by a man who was imprisoned on an island by himself in a cave. I have a hard time believing half the stories in that, but I do believe. Again, I do believe in God, and you know, I'll throughout the show, I will present more of what I mean by that.
Okay,
that's a good start. I think you said a lot of things that leads into the question for Matt.
Go right ahead.
From where you talked last time you were on the show, there are a few things he said that I think that you almost agree with, as far as like the needing to prove it to believe it and needing proof, and just how do you, I don't know, I mean, for one, what do you see as, obviously you don't believe in God, but how do you, or why was God constructed, so to speak, for you?
Oh, wow. God, in my view, came from a need to explain things that we didn't understand. And I think that's a reasonable definition by any standard. Whenever a person is unable to explain how he got here, just imagine 150,000 years ago when early man was rising up on his evolutionary path, when he needed to explain why the sun rose and the moon came up and why all this occurred, how else would he explain it other than by making up what I would consider an imaginary myth, or a myth or an imaginary God, and explaining it that way? God is a cop-out for whatever you want to explain. He's a cop-out for your sin and for the things that you fail at. And Chris said something about the need for God. I'm misquoting, I'm sure, but he said something about the need for God as it pertains to the origin of life and the origin of the universe. And I'm here to say that that's not at all true. It's certainly a misunderstanding that often happens, but there's no need for God. And actually, abiogenesis, also known as the primordial soup, can be recreated in a lab, and organic materials can be created in a sterile environment where there were no organic materials before. So we can see that happen, and we can see that those things are possible without any divine intervention.
I think I'm going to jump in and play the devil's advocate, because both points are good points. But yes, we can go ahead and create life now. But again, it goes back to that question. It's like beating your head against the wall 1,000 times. How did we get here? And it is an unknown. I mean, the whole thing is an unknown, and it's really hard to sometimes get your head around about the concept of God, and the fact that, well, I don't have percentages. I mean, how many people actually believe there is a God? I mean, how many of you that are here right now actually believe that there is a God? I'm not saying God is, you know, one particular God.
I know, Marla, I'm just going to interrupt real quick, that the statistics for at least the U.S. is showing that 85% of Americans believe in God. And that translates pretty well across the board through the world. And atheists and unbelievers are growing in number. But those are the statistics, the last I saw.
Yeah, I was just curious, you know, because so many people talk about God. But I think, personally, I think God is different to every person. I mean, it's an entity, and again, something that most people do believe in, that look up to, for whatever reason, you know, whether, like he said, whether to blame something on or just, you know, to have the faith in. But I personally think that I don't care who people pray to or believe in, but I think it's important that we all have something to look up to and get some kind of comfort knowing something is there. Well, not knowing, but assuming or hoping.
Right. Can I jump in on something on there?
Yeah.
Based on what you said, Matt, I agree with you at one point. Yeah, it is. I would say it's something that someone needs if they feel insecure with being, let's say, just human and want to know where they are, and they need to reach out for a higher power. It's an excuse, or maybe you said it like a cop-out or whatnot. But again, you know, and I agree with Marla, I mean, we all don't have any concept or any idea how it all started. All of it's based on theory, and it's theories that are still trying to be proven today. I think the one thing that made me believe in what we call God is I had a bad time in my life. You know, I've never done drugs or anything like that in my life, but when I was living out in Southern California, I was at my bottom of my life. At one point in my life, I was at the bottom. And I just, you know, and I said, what the heck, I'm going to give this a try. And I sat at the side of my bed and I prayed. And I prayed hard. You know, I was in tears. And because I was scared. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was young. And within, I asked, you know, and I'll tell you, I asked God, I says, I need help. I'm losing my home. I'm losing my car. I don't know what to do. I need guidance. I need help. If you're really there, can you please reach out to me somehow, some way, and help me? I'm going to try it. And within a couple days, I got two big fat checks in the mail from unknown source. Came out of nowhere. And one was for $1,700 and another one was for $2,500. Came out of nowhere. The state of California gave me two checks. I researched. I said, what this is for? They says, well, this is money that's owed to you from the state. Okay. I'm not going to complain. I ended the conversation right there, cashed a check, and I was happy. So I think that this kind of gave me like, wow, really? And then when I first seen my own proof of an entity, a malicious entity, an apparition in my home, my parents seen it. My parents were non-believers in paranormal. And when I seen that, I was like, well, there's got to be something there. Because if there's ghosts and there's spirits, why isn't there a God then? So let's find out about this.
And that, yeah. And a thing for me in believing in God is that, kind of like what Marla said, is that sense of hope. Just that sense that eventually, when I die, I'm not just going to rot there in nothingness. That sense of hope that I will move on to something hopefully better.
Let me jump in, Mike. You said that God provided a sense of hope, and this was actually my most recent topic that I wrote on my website. I've been told many times by friends of mine that were Christians that they have hope and that I must be lacking that because I don't believe in God. But the honesty is that my hope is in things that are here now that I can see and experience today. Your hope is unfortunately in something that may not even exist. Your hope is in the afterlife. But I have one life. I'm guaranteed one life. We can all agree on that.
Correct.
I should live this life, the one that I do have, that I know I have, to the fullest, and find hope in the things that I can do to improve humanity, or find hope in science and medicine, and all the wonderful things that have come about without any need for God. So it's not that we're hopeless. It's not like that at all. We simply don't have hope for a life that we can't prove. We don't put our riches in heaven, as the verse says. We put them here, and we find a lot of hope in ourselves and in other people.
So there are times in life when, in this current life that you're in, there doesn't seem to be any hope left. Like Chris was saying, he hit that rock bottom where it just seemed like no hope. Where do you turn?
I think whenever you get into such a painful spot, in a bad spot, and I've been in those places.
Mm-hmm. Who hasn't?
Exactly. When I was there, after becoming an atheist, losing my faith in God, I was very much hopeful in the next day, in my own ability. And I know that doesn't seem quite as comforting as the idea of some huge God that can fix everything for you, but that's also more based in reality. I know I'm here. I know that I can affect my situation if I need to, and I do. And so there's hope in the things that I want to have hope in, and that's really all there is to it. It doesn't have to be complicated by anything other than that. I have hope, and that's it. If there's nowhere else to turn, I guess I'll just wait for the next day to start.
Hey, Matt, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
I noticed you said something when you lost faith in God. What made you lose your faith?
It was a long, drawn-out process. I was actually a very devoted Christian. I was working on becoming fully ordained. I had been ordained previously, but I was working on a separate course for ordination. And just doubts arose. I had a lot of doubts about the Bible. And when I had my doubts about the Bible, that went into doubts about God and who God was, and was my God the right God. And then eventually it just kind of crumbled from there. My faith was a strong tower that was built upon the rock, and even that corroded.
Right.
And it can. Don't think it can't.
Oh, well, I understand. It can.
Yeah.
Because if you're made of stone, stone is made to be broken.
Yeah. Good point.
Kind of like when Medusa looks at you.
I see that every morning when I wake up.
Oh. Whoa.
So Marla, how do you... You won't tell, Chris.
Thinking out loud again. My bad.
So how do you... when you're in those dark places, what do you look for? What do you look to?
Well, you know, I've kind of got a logical mind. I don't have the impression that when we pray to God or deities or whoever we pray, I don't believe that they're there to solve the problems for us. Okay? I mean, if that were the case, we wouldn't be in the state that we're in now, we wouldn't have people homeless, we wouldn't have people hungry, there would be no wars, you know, all that good stuff. So I don't believe that there is one deity that we can pray to and all the problems will be solved. I think it's upon us and our free will to make our lives as best we can. Now, the praying thing, I think it comes naturally. It's a comfort to pray to somebody and hope that they'll listen and hope that they will help. You know, in my life, sure, you know, I pray, but I also talk to my spirit guides. I also, you know, do that kind of stuff, the metaphysical side of it as well. But I personally, in life in general, I don't depend on anybody to get me out of stuff. I try my hardest to do it on my own. Sometimes you know, you fail or you don't. But so I don't think that I'm that, well, I don't know how to put it. It's not that I'm not a believer, but I just don't think that God or a higher entity is there to make it all right, because obviously that doesn't go on. So you have to look to yourself first. You have to look to the logic. You have to look to the obvious. You have to do as much as you can. Then, you know, if you need to fall back, and, you know, most of us, again, have that little comfort zone where you talk to somebody and say, you know, I really need your help. Please, 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 kind of thing. It's good to be there. But I just don't, I can't figure out if God is the way that everybody says he's there for us, he hears us, he's there to help, and he doesn't, then you have to look to other options. Because he, you know, I just can't see one being helping the whole entire world every minute of every day.
I kind of believe that in order to, you know, I do believe in God, but I believe that God only helps those who help themselves. You know, if you're waiting on somebody to constantly pick you up and to get you where you want to be, whether it be a human or himself or her, I think you're going to be kind of disappointed. Because, you know, at some point you kind of have to take responsibility for your own actions and for your own thoughts and your own feelings, and understand that, you know, sometimes, well, in my opinion, all the time, the power is within you.
It's the free will that we're given. And, you know, you have to use your brain first.
Sounds like you're all agreeing with me.
Well, in a certain way, yeah. I mean, because, you know, where everybody talks about God, well, again, like you said, he is not tangible. It's all a vision, it's all a mystique. And somebody said earlier about, well, we keep trying to find the answer, is there a God or whatever. Personally, I don't think it's something that we can find out any more than there's going to be in the next 5 years proof that there is life on the other side. Now, I personally believe there is. But, you know, to capture it on film that everybody's going to unequivocally go, oh boy, that's a ghost, I don't think that's going to happen. So, you know, you kind of have to go on a little bit of faith in some of those areas, but by the same token, it's just like the Big Bang Theory. Who knows? I mean, you just don't, there's no way to ever know, I don't think, for sure.
And on that note, we're going to go to break, but I wanted to leave you guys and the audience with this quote from one of my classmates back in high school. Did anybody survive the Big Bang Theory?
Nope.
No comment.
I just had a big
honestly,
bang
it was not me. It wasn't me. It was an honest classmate. It's not one of those, you know, a friend of a friend of a friend things.
All right.
Go ahead. I had a smart remark after that one. Right. Something about drinking and after morning effects, Big Bang Theory.
So, speaking of drinking, we're going to take that break. Go get a few drinks. And we'll be back in about 5 minutes. You've been listening to Paratrinity Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Be right back.
Russ from Residual Hauntings Live. As some of you may know, I have run a paranormal group and website for several years. After walking through unwelcoming buildings and ominous cemeteries at night, the biggest challenge I've faced has been finding quality website hosting on a very tight budget. HostYourGhost.com is a high-quality hosting company specifically serving the paranormal community. All HostYourGhost plans include ad-free hosting, email accounts, and an easy-to-use control panel. With packages starting at just $4.99 a month, we scare away the competition. So stop watching your money vaporize and let us host your ghost at HostYourGhost.com.
This is Don Shy, the parapublicist, and you're listening to Parrot
Mute.
Where nothing is sacred.
The views and opinions expressed by Parrot Trinity Radio and their guests are solely theirs and do not represent the views and opinions of ASPRN or its affiliates.
All right, everybody, and we're back with Paratrinity Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. If you're listening and you are not in the chat room, you're missing out on some excellent discussion, so come over to asprn.com/studiob.html, and we have Matt Oxley, Christopher Maggard, and Marla Brooks on the line, and we are talking about a little bit of everything.
Safe.
So, during break, as we were talking, Chris wanted to begin with a particular comment, so I will let him take the reins here.
Excuse me while I choke up my hairball.
Right.
Well, we was talking during break, and I did a little bit of study on Satanism, you know, because I believe, if you're a Christian, you should learn everything. I mean, it's just like if you want to know about day, you need to know about night. You want to know about black, you need to know about white. You need to know everything. If you're going to be a Christian, you need to know about your enemy. It's just like in battle. You know, if you're going to go to war, you need to know about your enemy. And so I studied Satanism. And I got to say, there were some things that I learned, and of course, the founder or the writer of a Satanic Bible, Antoine LaVey. Brilliant man, but a little bit of a psycho, but some of the things that they came across, they actually brought up some good points. And so I would like to direct this starting off to, I'd like to direct this off to Matt. I mean, granted, he's not a complete psycho, but he was a brilliant man in a lot of things he had to say, but to me, he was a little bit off the wall for me. What do you think about that, Matt?
Regarding Anton LaVey, I've always had quite a deep respect for LaVey and his works. Later on in life, he actually, I believe, did go into believing in Satan when he founded the Satanic Church. However, he was an atheist, and if you've read the Satanic Bible, you'll know that it is an atheistic religion, in that it focuses on the self and selfishness. Some of the philosophies I certainly agree with. Some I do not. I tend to take a more humanistic stance than the selfish stance. But that's certainly a decision we all have to make in our personal lives, and we live that every day. But I don't think Anton was psycho.
Well, I think it's more a part. Let me break that down a little bit more for you. What do I mean by psycho? I mean, maybe you're just a little bit more on the edge than I would be. He did bring, like, I agree with you. He did have some good points from an atheist point of view. And then when he started to believe into Satanism a little bit more and more and really dived into it big time, and his church was growing big. I mean, heck, he has celebrities from Sammy Davis Jr. belong to his church, to and a lot of people. some of his things I was just like blown off the wall. I read a paper on him on that he said it, that he wrote about God, and he says, "How can any father let his child be tortured such as he did Jesus Christ? That is no father. That is no God." And I was like, and I mean, that's a good point. Why would a father let his son be tortured and brutalized like Jesus was? Or any, I mean, would you let your own child get beaten without stepping in, standing up, and helping him out? But then again, if you're in the Christian belief, you know, Jesus did that for man to show man that he is their savior.
Well, Chris, I think you're pointing out the brutality of the God of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does he believe that his son had to die in order to please himself,
right,
that we all may be saved, because you understand, and this is the circular logic of Christianity to me,
mm-hmm,
God had to sacrifice himself to please himself in order to save us from himself. That's an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-capable God doing those things. It seems like he kind of went a little out of the way to get his point across. But the Bible's full of brutalities in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
In certain interpretations, I know we have a few universalists that would disagree that hell is a real place. But certain interpretations certainly promote the idea of hell, and that's torture for anyone that doesn't accept the gospel. So if that doesn't surprise you, it certainly shouldn't surprise you that Christ would be
Does anyone understand?
No.
No, he's speaking in tongues.
He turned into a transformer all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Completely yes. Weird.
That was scary.
You there, Matt?
Are you okay, Matt?
Is it better now?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Cough it up. I know that stuff can get, you know, in the way sometimes.
That was wild. No, but I agree with you, Matt. I do agree with you. But it's just that after I've went to a couple churches out in Southern California, out in the high desert, one of the churches of Satan. And to be honest with you, I was blown away what I seen there. It's not what you see on TV. It's not these hooded people walking around. Actually, I walked in there and I saw doctors, politicians, lawyers, people from the Senate. You know, I'm like going, wow, these are people running our country. These are people working on us. I was blown away. You know, it's... And when it comes to Christianity, there's such a wide aspect of it, and there's so many different beliefs. I'm not one to call myself a follower of a certain religion, because I don't believe in religion, because I believe religion is politics and money, which goes hand in hand. But yeah, I believe in God.
Okay, now you guys have
spurred
me on.
I feel the same way. Maggard, I do agree with you on that, because, you know, I understand that money makes the world go round right now, and that in order to keep your business running, you need money. You need something so that you can build the churches or synagogues or temples or mosques.
On any organization, you need money. It's running a business.
Right, and you have to have business sense. But when you sit there and tell me to be humble when you live in a golden palace with, you know, Versace and Gucci bags and robes and, you know, ruby rings that could feed a country if sold. That's where I kind of start to draw the line and have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Hence the value.
I take that seriously.
Or
exactly.
When, you know, children get hurt, and instead of doing something and not necessarily, you know, punishing those that caused the hurt, they absolve the children. What did the children do?
Are we talking about the Catholics?
I don't know. I was just, you know, in general. I wasn't pigeonholing anybody.
I will.
Yes, I was talking about that specifically, but that's just my opinion.
I'm not sure how reliable the source was either, but...
Well, I'll throw out a quick explanation on that one for you there, Ellie. The way that I perceive it is that children do not know right from wrong until they are taught right from wrong. So it's kind of hard to condemn a child for doing something wrong until they've done it. And like the very instance of don't put your hand in a flame lest you get burned. We'll take that for instance. God, I don't know how many times I've burned my hand on the stove, and I'm 35 now, and I still don't remember don't touch a hot stove. But it's
you didn't really need problem. Somebody to tell you that, right?
I need Kevin
personal experience worked out well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like those hair dryers where they have those signs on it saying "Do not blow your hair while in the shower."
Mm-hmm.
You know, my question. You know what's funny about that little note on those little stickers on hair dryers? Why did they put that on there? Is that because someone tried it?
Yes.
I mean,
hey, now I like toast when I'm in the shower.
I love our toast nuts and soggy.
I'm just thinking about the first guy who tried it in the shower. Hey, does this cause problems? And then, bam! Oh, nope. Let's not do that.
Hey, I remember the punk rock movement from the 80s. So how do you think they got their hair to stand up like that?
I know how. I used a ton of hairspray and egg whites and even glue because I was a punk rocker.
That's kind of nasty, but we're way off subject here.
Oh, yeah, we are. Sorry.
I actually have a hardcore question for all the guests, including the host. This is the producer speaking. Listen at me, I'm like announcer guy. I'm Larry Morgan speaking, but here's a hardcore question.
Okay.
Chris, all you're right. Christian. Matt, you're former Christian, now atheist, but yet you still hold on this belief, and I know you do because you practice it every day without consciously acting it. Marla, I would like to get your views on this and how your religion of Wiccacraft views it and what you do for it. And that's the view of sacrifice. In Christianity, we were taught to sacrifice. Now it's down to we put a little bit of change out of our pocket in a collection plate when it goes by. But in the old days, it was we sacrificed our best lamb or our best goat or even our firstborn male child underneath a full moon.
Mm-hmm. Well, personally, and, you know, in paganism, I mean, there are thousands of ways to practice as, you know, there are as many ways to practice as there are practitioners. I personally don't believe in bloodletting sacrifices of any kind. There are those that make offerings to the deities, you know, in the form of food or flowers or, you know, whatever you're going to do. But personally, maybe self-sacrifice is acceptable, but I do not believe in animal sacrifice or any sort of bloodletting. I had a guest on my show last week who, was talking about runes and believed that they were sentient beings and that you had to offer them a blood sacrifice from yourself because they are very blood hungry. And she went on to talk about animal sacrifice and sometimes it's necessary to do that. My chat room just kind of went into a standstill, then into a tailspin, and all hell broke loose. And I kind of agree with that. I think life of any form is sacred, and some would argue that because it's sacred, that's what you should sacrifice, but I believe that it's sacred to be kept alive, and so I don't go after that at all. I hate the thought of it.
Okay, Matt, let me get your views on that.
Restate the question more toward my view, if you will.
How do you view sacrifice now? Because being a former Christian, now an atheist, you don't sacrifice so much towards a religion anymore or towards a god, but yet you do sacrifice other things towards the betterment of either yourself or your fellow man.
Sure. Yeah, I go to work every day and I sacrifice 8 to 10 hours of my day, and then I work all weekend on other projects. And, you know, so sure, I sacrifice for the well-being of my family and myself, and I also put myself out there. If you don't know it, atheists are the most hated group of people in the world. So I put myself out there. People know who I am. And I talk negatively about people's gods. And people are able to find me and contact me, and they often do. So that's certainly a bit of a sacrifice, or at least a risk. So, sure, and in a more extreme form of sacrifice that I'd like to point out would be the scientist who makes $50,000 a year, works his entire life just to find one simple medicine to cure a disease that ails someone. That's sacrifice. And he may die before he actually gets that, finds that medicine, but he sacrificed his life for the betterment of humanity. So that would be a form of sacrifice that I certainly would respect quite a lot.
Well, I wouldn't call it so much sacrifice. I would call it a passion to help humanity. I mean, I'm out doing things every day to try and find proof in what I believe in, and it's not a sacrifice, it's a passion. And when I work, it's a passion to keep my family alive and provide for my family. So I wouldn't so much call it as a sacrifice. As far as the bloodletting of an animal, that was one thing. I think it was a showing of taking what you care about deeply to sacrifice for others. I think it was a showing of something. But as far as in today's day and age, I think we sacrifice animals still today when we eat that steak that we buy from the grocery store. That animal was sacrificed so we can live on. It's because we're the higher foods on the higher on the food chain, and that's just the way it is. But I don't think a full sacrifice would be like, okay, let's say I have $100 sitting in front of me. I need to buy myself new clothes. But here I see a man sitting on the side of the street, and he's in pain. I'm going to sacrifice $100 for him to help him out. That's more of a sacrifice in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I would consider a sacrifice. Giving up, I'll tell you right now, if I saw any one of you walking by here in the cold rain without a shirt, I would take off my last shirt and give it to you. That's a sacrifice. But as far as going to work or the scientist or paranormal researchers or whoever's out there trying to find proof or trying to help find a cure for cancer, that's not a sacrifice. That's a dedication and a passion to help people.
There are so many different forms of sacrifice. I mean, there is self-sacrifice, or sacrifice for others, or sacrifice for your beliefs, or sacrifice in religion. I mean, it's really difficult to pin it down when you're talking about sacrifice in general. I think you need to be a little bit more specific at times.
I mean, if you're talking about the sacrifice of my firstborn son or any of my children, no, I'd rather die. I would rather go to hell or wherever I'm supposed to go before I would ever, ever allow my children to be hurt. But that's just me.
Well, that's no fun.
But, you know, if somebody needs help, I will sacrifice, you know, my money, my time, whatever I can to help them. But, you know, going as far as what God did, I don't think I could. I would probably kind of be like, well, screw everyone. Sorry.
In order to be more controversial, let me say, Dory, why did God require that sacrifice?
Of his son?
Yeah, why? Or Chris might want to answer that.
It might be better for Chris to answer that, because my thought process is that maybe he's
here, let me help you.
You know what, Chris, just answer it.
the reason for it is he's showing everybody that he has given his son up for everybody's sins, and that he's going to take his very own son from his celestial being and say, I'm going to sacrifice my son to forgive all of your sins because I love you that much. I care about you that much. I've created you, so I'm here to show you how much I love you. That's the belief.
He loves us so much that he has to give up his son.
Why is that reasonable?
I don't see how that is reasonable, but I mean, okay. I understand the point, but I couldn't do that. But that's why I'm not a god.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand why Christianity or any other religion, for that matter, would believe that something like that is reasonable. If this is necessary to save you from punishment created by God that created you and claims to love you, why are you okay with these insane requirements? Let's think about it like this. Say you've never ever heard of Jesus Christ, never heard the gospel as it's called. Would you really, and somebody just walked up to you and told you, God sent his son to die for you on a cross 1,000 years. No, I have no evidence to back that up, but you need to believe it. Would you really believe that? Would you truly accept that at all?
I have a heck of a time fathoming the love of, you know, everyone else over the love of my child, but I guess that's why I'm selfish. And I'm a mean bitch, if you want to say. Whatever. But I could not fathom that idea.
Right, but I mean, even in terms of Christ, why, in terms of the religion that I believe that you follow and Christ follows, why is that a reasonable thing to believe that Christ even did those things and that God required it and saw it through? I'm trying to be more controversial and pull you in here.
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, I got you. Here's another question. Okay. To answer yours, Matt, I don't think it is really reasonable, especially since we still have the same sins going on now.
I'm not sure it's about how reasonable it is. I think it's about the fact that one man was putting forth so much of himself and what he loved to save the rest of the world that to us that's supposed to look like he is the ultimate, that he has so much love for everyone that he can do that to save us as a whole.
Right. Well, it's kind of like even the Aztecs, you know, they believed in their sun gods and they sacrificed their people by taking their hearts out of them while they're alive to give to the sun gods. It's just kind of like, It's almost that same principle. They did that. The Egyptians had their own different types of sacrifices. So did the Romans. Romans had a lot of problems. But
those gladiators had it really tough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Matt, you're actually delving into the core of the question with the multiple gods. You gave your sacrifice in order to appease and or curry favor.
To get, right, you know, fertility for your lands or your wife, if you had one. And, you know, various things like that. But Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus wasn't for the fertility of our lands. That's the correct term. Probably sound like a moron. Oh, wait, I can't say that on radio.
No!
I
do have a question for Matt, though.
Okay.
Matt, yeah. Do you believe Jesus Christ actually was a real human being and lived and walked on this earth?
I have actually never seen any tangible, reliable proof outside of Josephus that Jesus Christ literally existed.
What about
and so the, I don't.
So what about the writings they found out in the desert out there? Supposedly it's his true writings, the scrolls that he wrote in Aramaic that the Catholic Church will not recognize because they're afraid it will crumble the church.
I don't know anything about those, and I doubt that they would be legitimate. How do you prove that something was written by one said man? And there was actually no reference to Christ ever writing anything himself. It was all references. So,
that's where I disagree with that, because they did find something, and it was dated back. You know how we date everything. It was dated back supposedly to his era, according to the material that was written on, and supposedly in interpretation, it was signed by him.
Well, I mean, I'd have to see that. That's kind of as reliable to me as the recording that Russian scientists made one time of hell, because they dug so deep into the earth. It's just as reliable as that.
Could
have just been the pits of their stomachs growling?
Amen.
And the pine is.
Not equating Jesus to a pit of a stomach, but you never know.
Yeah.
All right, we've come up here on our second break, so we're going to take another 5 minutes here, and we shall return. So you've been listening to Paratrinity Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Where nothing is sacred.
Yay!
Magazine.
a publication dedicated to the paranormal and the unexplained. The magazine features articles covering everything from ghosts and hauntings to UFOs and ancient mysteries. You can also expect contributions from experts in the paranormal field, as well as investigations, pictures, feature articles, book reviews, movie reviews, and much, much more. Join us as we explore the unknown. Unexplained Paranormal Magazine. For more information, please visit our website at unexplainedmag.com. That's unexplainedmag.com.
Hi, this is Chris from Tri-State Paranormal, Northern Kentucky, and you're listening to Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is...
Views and opinions of Paratrinity Radio and their guests are solely theirs and do not represent the views and opinions of ASPRN or its affiliates.
All right, everybody, and we are back. You're still listening to Paratrinity Radio, and if you are not here in the chat room enjoying this awesome conversation going on, come over to asprn.com/studiob.html, and we're talking to Matt Oxley, Christopher Meggard, and Marla Brooks.
And once again, you said that so fast, nobody can write that down.
Why are they writing it down? I didn't know people were taking notes.
We are taking notes.
I'm taking names. You guys can take notes.
So I had a question for you, Chris, specifically just because you're the only one that would this would really refer
pertain to.
Yeah. As far as the Bible, how much of that do you fully believe as... how do I even word this? How do you feel about the Bible? Do you follow it? Do you think it's...
Is it infallible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Some points I do believe in it, but I also look at it this way. This is where it's going to get really a little bit hairy, and I'm probably going to get attacked for this one, and I welcome it. There's a lot of things in it that I disagree with because of the simple fact it was written by a bunch of men that walked on the planet with Jesus Christ. And it's their, basically, it's their stories of what they witnessed. Yeah, Pastor Guy. Yeah, what they witnessed while walking with him. And that's in the New Testament. The Old Testament was before Jesus Christ, if we all know that. And, So there's a lot of things I disagree with, but there's a lot of things I do agree with. And when it comes to, and this is where I get attacked a lot about this, about men and women should only marry each other, not man and man and not woman and woman. But that's just my belief. I don't have any problems against people's lifestyle, per se, but... I have my own beliefs, and I feel that our bodies are designed to be built one way and work together as one way, man to woman.
So the Bible's been translated thousands of times since it was initially written.
How
do you know which parts of that is properly translated, and especially that part, which I guess you could say pushes my buttons, that part there. That's one topic I didn't really want to touch too much tonight, but... How do you know that it wasn't referring to just
man with not beast?
Right, say with like species, not the opposite sex. How do you know that it's referring man to man, and that's what it was supposed to mean from the beginning because of how many translations? I mean, I hate to say this as a grown-up Roman Catholic, but there's a lot in the Bible that I think has been completely screwed up throughout the years of mistranslation.
No, I agree with you. It has. I mean, we don't know the true... I mean, we don't know... The words that they had back then, their language, was completely different than what it is today. Completely. Right. So, the word Armageddon means something different today than it did then. Mm-hmm. In my belief, Armageddon already happened. And that was the fall of the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you think it's something different, Matt?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's anything, but I think it could have easily been what John the Revelator was attempting to refer to. But yeah, I think the problem with the Bible is the fact that it's a book that claims to be from God, written by God from His mouth, His breathed words, and inspired fully by Him. At any point you have a book like that, and this includes the Quran and the Vedas and other holy books, you have a lot of trouble and a lot of problems there. And it should be held to an incredibly high standard. And the standard in which I refer to with the Bible is there should be no issue with translation. If God is perfect and capable of breathing these words, mm-hmm. and having them compiled into a book, He should be able to preserve those words and to do it quite well so that we can understand them today. So I hold God at fault for that, if He were to exist, for any mistranslations or misunderstandings. That's His job, not ours.
But anything that's written will be interpreted like a gazillion ways. Everybody mm-hmm. that reads it may read something different into it. And, you know, the stories of the Bible is like a game of Chinese whispers. Stories that are told and retold and retold, they get either embellished or bits get forgotten along the way. Is there any proof that the Bible that we read today resembles anything close to what it was when it was originally written?
Absolutely it does. Yes, it absolutely does. We know, we've seen the oldest transcriptions that are available. There are no originals at all, but the oldest transcriptions that are available are very similar, and they've been pretty well directly translated throughout a few different interpretations or a few different English translations of the Bible. But regardless, they're still full of flaws. The Bible itself is flawed and contradictory. That's my point. It's a flawed book. And if it were breathed by God, I expect that God could maintain its perfection throughout the ages.
I don't think God had quite as much to do with it as
some people believe.
I think it's inspired by God, written by people, inspired by that belief that there is that God. And
they couldn't get their act together.
It was inspired by a belief in God or an understanding of God that was made up by believers of whatever faith. But it was inspired certainly by God, but that doesn't mean that the God that inspired it was any more real than anything.
Now, I'm gonna jump in on here. We all know in the BCs that it was a cruel world. The Jews were cruel. The Romans were cruel. Everybody was cruel. It was a very cruel infant world. People were learning day by day. What you see today, as far as someone who's got schizophrenia, back then they were considered possessed by a demon. So everything changes. And I'm guilty of, maybe I'm not guilty, but I am one that I do believe in a God. I do believe in it. I don't believe in a lot of these religions. And maybe it's because I do need that excuse of a higher purpose or someone that I, that little inside part of me saying, I want to make sure I go to heaven or I want to have an afterlife. Maybe that's that part that makes me believe. But I do believe. And, you know, and granted, I'm not perfect and I commit a sin every day. But then there's these people out there who sit there and say, well, if you do not follow the good word of the book, word for word, then you are going to be condemned. You're going to go to hell. Who are they to judge me and tell me where I am going to go? It's not their business. If the true God is there, it's His job to tell me that. It's not theirs.
Sure. That's right. I mean, I totally believe that what happens behind closed doors is none of my concern, as long as you are not hurting somebody.
Why is that book so damn finicky? I'm asking you folks to question that book. Is it worthwhile? Is it worth believing word for word? Even if you had the originals right here in front of your face, would you really believe it? Would you believe that David killed Goliath or that Jonah was swallowed by a whale in any other circumstance?
Right. if someone told that to me right now, and I never knew of God, I just look at them like they're crazy.
Right.
You know, but
you should
know,
do that just, now.
Okay, hold on a minute. Give me a, no, but there's a. I'm gonna go off on something that someone in the chat room said. Pastor guy, he says, "How can you know the voice of God if you don't listen or read?" It kind of goes off to something else, and, you know, and I'm not bashing my own beliefs. Believe me, I'm not. But when I had this woman come up to me, she's very devout a Christian. I mean, she is. And God bless her for it. I mean, I respect her for it. But she came up to me, and it was in the discussion of the paranormal and the research that I do. And she goes, "Well, I don't believe in something I don't see." My first question to her was, "So when did you meet God?" And she had nothing to say about that. If you believe in something you don't see, and you believe in God, when did you meet him? It's the same principle in what I do in the paranormal. Granted, when I go into an investigation, I pray to God. I ask God to protect us and forgive us and watch over us. So an entity, if there's a bad entity there, he does not attach to us and go home with us. And, hold on, there was something in there. Oh, yeah, another thing. Patrick Guy said, notice Chris skipped the Bible questions about believing only parts. Well, it's and I'm going to go off that too, if that's all right with everybody, real quick.
No, go ahead.
Can I ask you that?
It's my right to believe in what I want to believe in, part of the Bible. Who's to say that I have to believe in everything that's in that Bible? Because again, the Bible has been interpreted so many different ways, and some of the Bible has been changed to fit certain religions' beliefs.
Right.
So. Who am I? You know, like I said, it's my right to believe in what I want to believe and how much of it I want to believe. Now, no man or woman can tell me or force me to make me believe every single word in that Bible.
And I think that's the way God wanted it. I mean, otherwise, why would it have free will? He would have made us
androgynous drones.
Yeah, who just follow it word for word. He gave us that free will to determine what our faith is and what we truly believe in. And
but
some
if you,
choose all of it, some choose half of it, and some choose none of it.
But if you believe it word for word, then shouldn't you believe everything you read word for word? When you read a newspaper, and instead of paying attention to the spin that a Republican or a Democrat would put on it, then you should believe word for word what it says.
Well, that's not God.
But the thing was is that
there's a difference between talking about a politician and a higher entity as God.
Yeah, there is a difference between God and a higher entity, but if the point that some people in the chat room were saying was that you have to believe the Bible word for word, then you should be able to believe everything word for word. You're basically telling me I can't question any part of my Bible.
You probably should believe anything that's considered to be true. Yeah. And the newspaper, for the most part, is considered to be true. I believe most of what I read in the newspaper.
Bad idea, Mike.
Especially. Well, I just kind of think truth comes from within. I mean, you know, there are people that write things that make a great deal of sense, but if they don't coincide with your beliefs, you might not look at that as truth. I mean, truth is a kind of a blanket statement sometimes.
Right.
You know?
And you think about, say, that you read Harry Potter and you have to take that word for word as truth. That's stated
dimension. My Harry Potter. Oh.
Just that out of my. Yeah.
Well, it's just. Can I interject on this something real quick?
Yeah.
Sure.
And Marla, I would love to hear your thoughts on this after I say this.
Okay.
A part of our studies, and I require this for my paranormal group that I have, for a little bit better understanding, not saying we're exorcists or anything like that, but it's a little understanding in that part of the world. We went to a seminar given by a Catholic church. It was at a Catholic church. And it was given by a priest who he says he is now an exorcist, and he has been for 5 years. And he went through a list of things that is considered paganism, satanic-based beliefs. As far as, he even said yoga was paganism. He said karate, kung fu is paganism. He said that Harry Potter is a Christian-based movie, but Lord of the Rings... No, Harry Potter is paganism, but Lord of the Rings is Christian-based. And I looked at this guy like, have you seen the movies, brother?
Both authors, I believe C.S. Lewis even stated about his books as well, that their basis of their stories was taken from the Bible, you know, the story of Jesus. So if one is pagan, then they're all pagan.
And I just want to jump in for a second. Pastor Guy in chat said no one has defined paganism yet. And my definition of paganism is any religion that does not follow the regular organized religions. I mean, Buddhism is a pagan religion. So is shamanism, things like that. So that's my definition of pagan.
Usually what I've noticed, in the definitions of paganism, it's any religion that is not Judaism, Islam, or Christian.
Yeah, the regular organized religions. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's not the big three, you're pagan.
You're a pagan, and who's to say that's bad? You know, I mean, people, I think, take the term, and immediately when they hear the word pagan, they think, oh, heathen, witchcraft, bad, boo. You know, well, tell that to Hindu people. Tell that to Buddhists, you know. They're pagans and you know, it's a completely different thing. It's just an umbrella term, you know.
Well, yeah. There's even Catholic Buddhists now. How's that one work?
Well, there's a lot of religions that are now intertwined. I mean, there's a new Jewish mysticism one that is also Christian. I don't know how you pull that off, but there's some like that.
Even some of the Christian holidays are based on pagan beliefs.
Can I interject just a moment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm glad we brought up paganism. I think it's a great segue, but let's talk about paganism and Christianity. Jesus Christ is the 13th known Savior to man. He is the 8th to be born of a virgin, etc., etc. My point being that Christianity originated in pagan myth. Christianity has borrowed from so many religions. The story of Noah, I think we talked about this last time I was on,
mm-hmm.
The story of Noah's Ark, that was borrowed from religions that were predating Judaism. So
Babylonian
all of those,
times.
Absolutely. So that is just one of many, 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 many examples of paganism influencing what Christianity became. So, and it's not just a few holidays. It's every single holiday
mm-hmm.
is pagan. Every single one. There is no way around that. Almost every aspect of who Christ was supposed to have been is pagan. It was borrowed. The virgin birth, the resurrection, a crucifixion, or sacrificial death. All of those things are borrowed from other beliefs. And it was merely it was just a more popular story. It was held onto because more people tended to buy it, and because it was forced a little more brutally than the religions that predated it. But don't for a moment think that Christianity is original, because it certainly is not.
So the chat room wanted to know where you got those numbers, the 13th and the 9th, and what proof you have of those numbers.
Let me get this website up real quick.
That was them, not me.
But I do agree.
I'm curious.
Being a Christian that I am, I do believe it's not the first religion. I know that for a fact.
Oh, I mean, how can you not understand that it's not? I mean, it's our Old Testament is the exact same thing as the Torah. So the only thing that's slightly different is the New Testament.
Right. Well, there are some books that are not in certain versions, but they're largely discounted.
Which is why, how can you believe totally in a Bible that likes to, depending on which religion you are, take out certain things because it may be too much for their followers?
Just like the pastor guy mentioned in the chat room says, why should I believe writers from a thousand of years ago?
Good question.
Believe in the Bible, don't you?
Mm-hmm. He does. That's the
sign. How long ago was that written?
Well, I just posted the website. It's pocm.info, pocm.info, which stands for Pagan Origins of the Christ Myth. Actually goes through tons and tons of evidence for the different Christs. And my numbers may have been slightly off. I was going by what I remembered. But the core of Christianity is completely and totally predated by other pagan beliefs. And to think that Christianity is at all original is incorrect. And that's really the only point I'm making. But that website has some really great information on the origins of the myth. So you should certainly check it out if you're interested in knowing more about that.
And it's pocminfo.com?
No, it's pocm.info.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not a secretary, so. Gotta make sure it's right.
It's a great website. A lot of good information that's still being worked on. There's so much data to compile. Regarding this, I mean, and there are a lot of old materials that are still being translated, that are still being added. So, the Bible isn't the only book we're finding in archaeological digs, and the similarities between the Bible and other books is very interesting. We'll say that.
All right. Well, sadly, the show is coming to an end already. Time seemed to just fly by tonight.
Oh, already?
Before we got off, I wanted to give everyone a chance to just kind of put your name out there, put your websites, whatever you do, just plug yourself. And whoever would like to start, just chime on in.
Yeah, you can plug yourself in or plug yourself out, whichever way you feel good.
Well, let's Marla go first, because we didn't hear much from her tonight.
Aw. what do I do? I do lots of stuff. I host a show on Pair X called Stirring the Cauldron on Thursday nights. I'm also the author of several books, a series on the ghosts of Hollywood, and also two books on witchcraft. And that's about it in a nutshell. Paranormal investigator. Wear a lot of hats, including the little pointy witch hat. So. That's me, and my website is marlabrooks.com, and I'm also on Facebook and MySpace.
Awesome.
Matt?
Yes, my name is Matt Oxley. We already know that. My website is ragingrev.com. That's raging, R-E-V as in reverend, .com. And it is inspired. No, not quite. I am a former Christian. I once believed and was very, very devoted to my faith. I had what I deemed a personal relationship with Christ. And because I desired truth more than anything, I decided to question that and allowed myself to do so. And I encourage everyone to do so. I'm not saying that you can't be happy and be a Christian or a Wiccan or what have you. I'm not trying to turn you from that. But I can assure you that you won't be lost completely without God. It is a happy life, believe it or not. So question everything. That's my whole spiel.
And I do agree with you, Matt, that you shouldn't take everything at face value. You miss out on so much of life if you don't question. You could get hurt or, you know, swindled. If you assume that everybody out there is the best that they're going to be, and you don't question what you read or what you hear or what you saw.
Yeah. Yes, and the Bible should be.
And I'm not saying you can't believe, and you can. But you should have your own opinions of it, not what some guy who's wearing robes tells you it should be. Because, I mean, not to really start something, because I'm sure you all are tired, but I'm going to do it anyway. A student of mine made mention of the fact that her pastor told her that it was that Sodom and Gomorrah was filled with people who were not in the majority. Let's just say that. Now, how can you sit there and say that you're a man of the cloth, that you read the Bible, and that you believe in the Bible, when out of your mouth is hatred?
Well, it's a book full of hatred. I'll say that again.
Yes.
The first Nazis were Jewish. I said it. Yep.
And you are correct, though.
Yeah, I am. I know.
You are correct on that one. And on that note...
your turn.
Yeah, my turn. Hey, where's the crowd? My name's Chris Maggard. I'm with Tri-State Paranormal in Northern Kentucky. We are a team that does extensive research. We research through documentation before we do investigations. We never charge for what we do, and we are looking for the truth and proof in this field, which is going to be very hard. I am a Christian. I do believe in God. And I don't disagree with anybody's beliefs, such as Matt and Marla. I actually respect them and praise them for standing up for what they believe in. And I think everybody should. But if I've been in this field for 28 years in the paranormal, and I tell you what, I have finally captured stuff. I've actually captured apparitions on video. My first time last year. And you can check that out on my website at www.tspnorthernkentucky.com. Also on a YouTube page at tspnorthernkentucky.com. And I welcome anybody's questions. You can go to our website and ask me any question you like. And if I'm proven wrong in anything, I will own it. I respect anybody's questions. And I thank everybody.
And that's the whole point that, you know, we're trying to get at, is that we all have our opinions, but if you can't respect other people's opinions, what's the use in, you know, trying to walk around in this earth? Because all it's going to do is just make you a bitter dork.
Dork.
Well, I was trying to be nice, but I mean, it just makes you mean, bitter, and, you know, blaming everybody else instead of looking within, realizing that, well, maybe I'm an A, blah, blah, blah. And maybe if I changed how I am and, you know, accepted the fact that everybody can be different, everybody can believe in what they want to, and that I can still have my beliefs, too, and it be okay.
I just feel, you know, I know we got to end the show, but I just feel that people shouldn't force their beliefs on other people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a big turnoff for me. If you push your belief on me, I'm going to walk away from you.
Christianity requires that.
That's something I don't like about the Catholic Church. And that's
dogma.
Why I don't. Church is the way that they push it.
Dogma.
Dogma, yeah.
Well, like I said, Orthodox Christianity requires that you spread the gospel. It is in the Great Commission of Mark chapter 16. You are required to do so. Otherwise, you are not truly a Christian, according to that book. So, just that's some food for thought. You don't even agree with what it says.
No, I don't agree with that. Because who am I to say that you're, not you specifically, but that you're, what is the term, a savage, and I must enlighten you? Who's to say that I'm truly enlightening you?
I agree. Mm-hmm. But that's what the book says.
That's the thing about the phrase going by the book. It's
yeah.
not always right.
Right.
Whatever book.
It's
just
it's
like
not
our politicians.
Right.
They're never right.
Yeah, but the problem is that they think they are.
That's the problem with most people in power. So, but that's a whole nother show.
And that refers right back to the Catholics.
Boom!
Poor Mike. He's Roman Catholic.
I love you, Mike. I love you, brother.
Yeah.
Just don't put nothing in my cookies.
You're really hoping you get cookies, aren't you?
I'm praying. Oh, there's hope.
Who are you praying to? This is the question.
Cookie Monster.
A major deity in this world. Yes, absolutely.
Didn't Cookie Monster you know? Rocks. He was just touted in the news lately as, you know, the new god.
Yes.
I am so in trouble for that, but
when the sweet tooth strikes, you could be very right.
Oh yeah.
See you in Eldor.
I'll be looking for you. Welcome you with open arms.
Yes.
Mike, what do you have coming on next week?
Oh yeah, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah, next week. I don't know. Who do I have coming on next week? Next week is to be determined, because the guest that we originally had planned unfortunately just recently passed away. That was Rick Moran, and we were very sad to see the news. It was very unexpected, and our condolences to his friends and family. So next week there is someone that might be pushed up to get on next week, but we're not real sure, so I don't know. That's our guess for next week. But I also wanted to say thank you very, very much to our three guests, Matt, Chris, and Marla. You guys have been wonderful, respectful, nice, interesting, awesome. So thank you very much for coming on tonight and chatting with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And a big thank you to all the chatters that are left in the chat room for being respectful, nice, and good. I don't know what the word is. Good. Being adult. It's made it a very pleasant show. It was just a wonderful experience. It was not what I thought it might become. So I was very pleased with the results. And if you ever missed a previous show or missed part of this show, you can always hear them at www.paratrinityradio.podomatic.com. You can visit our website at paratrinityradio.com and join us next week here at asprn.com for Paratrinity Radio.
Oh yeah, where nothing is sacred.
Ruined it again.
I had to. It's not funny if I don't ruin it sometimes. We have this series all the time.
You've been listening to Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred.
No, do it again.
Play the outro, Chris.
I was waiting.
Good night,
for
guys.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Tune in next Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Paratrinity Radio with Mike and Ellie. Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred, right here on the All Souls